Amen. Amen. But I started a series a couple of months ago, or weeks ago rather, entitled The Secret Place. Amen. And I want you to secure the CD or go on iGrow and make sure that you obtain the teaching from part one and part two, because today I'm going to do my best to conclude with part three. Amen. Somebody say praise God. And the reason why the individual had to come up here is because in this particular segment, Secret Place, I'm going to be dealing with the resting and the ruling. The secret place, resting and ruling simultaneously. And if you don't feel like spelling simultaneously, just write down at the same time. I got to be able to rest in this secret place, Elder Gale, but I got to be able to rule in this secret place at the same time. Because if we look at Jesus, Jesus is currently what? Resting and ruling from his seat of authority as we speak now. He's sitting at the right hand of who? The Father. But he also says, while I'm sitting here, come on, while I'm resting in my seat of authority, watch this, all power and all authority has been given unto me. And if it's been given unto him in his place of rest, then it's been given to us, amen, as believers of Christ Jesus, amen. And so even when we look at some translations of the secret place, some translated as a shelter, a covering, or a dwelling place, amen, jot that down. And it's also in the previous series. And it also speaks of 1 Corinthians 6 and 19. It reminds me when we start talking about this secret place is a dwelling place. 1 Corinthians 6 and 19 says, know you not that your body, somebody say my body, is the temple or the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit, which is in you. Somebody say, it's in me. It's in me. So this secret place or this dwelling place, I said before, is not a place that we come in and out of. Come on. No matter where we are, since the Spirit of God is present in us, the Spirit of God rests, he rules, he abides on the inside of us, then we can tap into or should be able to tap into this secret place with God and get the peace, the power, the protection, and the provision that we need. Somebody say 24/7. It's not, hold up, wait a minute, you frustrating me. Let me run over here to my secret closet. In the midst of that communication, that conversation, when the spirit of frustration tries to rise up and disturb your peace, you ought to be able to, come on, come from a place of rest and rule over that spirit of frustration. And right there in the midst of that conversation, that man or that woman ought to experience the power and the authority that's now been given to us, that we have in the name of Jesus. I don't believe we need to put life on a pause to go and find our rule, rank, and authority. I believe we just need to rise up from our place of rest and rule over any situation and circumstance that's trying to, watch this, not circumstance or situation itself, but rise up and take authority over what the circumstance and the situation is trying to bring to frustrate my place of peace in my mind. Because we got to go through. We go through for a reason. We're going to get there. We go through for a reason. So we're not trying to cancel the situation or the circumstance that's rising. We're trying to cancel the frustration, the resentment, the confusion, the anger, and the bitterness that what that situation will cause and bring to our mind and bring an unrest. Somebody say resting and ruling. We said that it's a state of spiritual rest. Now I'm going to add and spiritual rule that prevails regardless of outward situations. Amen. The secret place is a permanent place of residence for the believer. Somebody say permanent place of residence. Give them praise for that permanent place, not temporary. But the things of God are what? Permanent. So we thank God that we're not pitching a tent or building a tabernacle, amen? But we are that living temple that the Holy Spirit of God lives and dwells in, amen? So today I want us to turn to Matthew 6. Is that all right? Turn to Matthew 6. I love the teaching house. We can just take our time and walk the word and make sure that all the minds that have been anointed can receive and come up from a place of rest into a place of ruling, amen? Look at Matthew 6. It says in verse 5, and when you pray, these are instructions for us. Somebody say, us, the believer. It says you should not be like the hypocrites. For they love praying and standing in the synagogue. Somebody says, not what we do in here that matters. Come on, it's not what we say over this mic that matters. It's what we say and do in our secret place that matters. Uh-huh, let's keep going. It says they stand in the synagogue and pray and on the corner of the streets. Come on, so that man can see and hear them pray. Mm-hmm. It says that they may be seen of men. Here it is. Assuredly, I say unto you, for they have already received their reward. But when you pray, this is speaking to us. It says, go into your room. Somebody say, my secret place. And this is not a physical room, because you know that we can pray anywhere. Come on, at any time, right? But as we desire to remain in this secret place with God, when we go into our room, we look at this as a quiet, peaceful place of rest. Think about it. When you take it, go to your room. You tell them go to their room because you're hoping what? That they will, in the midst of their quiet, peaceful room, they will get a divine revelation from the Lord on why they did what they did. See, we say and do things and don't even know why. Well, when we go to our room and our, come on, secret place with God, God is just hoping and trusting and believing that whatever it is that we did that displeased the Father, that we will go into the secret place in our room and we will get divine revelation on how to apologize, how to repent, and how to restore, come on, that broken relationship. Ah. How to tap back into, come on, the promises that mom and daddy gave me that I went left field and need to get back over on right field. God, give me divine revelation in my secret place on how to be restored back to you. Amen. And so, you know, when I talk about this secret place and this room, you know, it doesn't affect you when you go into this room. Now the negativity of the world doesn't impact or affect you when you're in the secret place. So, yeah, all hell breaking loose around you. You know the story I share, you know, losing, people losing their houses during the recession. Remember, say, go into that secret place. God give you divine revelation on how it is and what it is and the words you need to sustain you when people all around you are losing things. How many of you see people health failing them all around? Broken marriages, losing marriages all around. Huh? How many of you see that all around you? But if we're in our secret place, what goes on around us, even if we are the one that's experiencing turmoil in our life, that it doesn't impact or affect us negatively because we know we're going through for a reason. Amen? We know we're going through for a reason. But have I ever told you the story about when the spirit of divorce came in and started speaking to me? Me, Eve, come on, the one that the enemy will go to and try to get through and get to the head of the household. I'll never forget it when that spirit of divorce started speaking to me. And I said, well, what in the world is going on here? And the bottom line is whenever the enemy starts speaking to you in your mind, it's because he's looked around the corner and he's seen your season of prosperity and he's determined to divide and disconnect you, and in the marital case, to cause a divorce so that you don't tap into the thing that you all are sitting in the chairs looking at, appreciating, and admiring. Would not have been had that spirit of divorce spoke to me and allowed me to what? Stay in my place of rest and not come into a place of rule where I take authority over that spirit of divorce that's speaking into my ear. Many of you don't even know, Pastor Charlie at the time didn't even realize the hell that I was experiencing entertaining the voice of the enemy. And so it is with many of us. It's not the circumstance or the situation that we go through. It's how we go through it. How do we handle the voice of the enemy when he starts speaking divorce and despair, lack and poverty into our minds? Amen. And so when we look at this particular secret place, we see that we get divine revelation. Amen. I know during many of my challenges in life, God would say, the same crazy faith it took you to get it is the same crazy faith it's going to take for you to keep it. Sometimes we have faith to get a thing, but we seem to what? Disconnect with our faith to maintain or keep it. And that's why the world on the outside seem to lose everything, because they don't have the faith that we have to sustain a thing. So we talk about, why is it that we go through? Somebody say we go through so that we can get a greater level of faith. How many of you know it is the faith that pleases God? And he always desires us to operate at a higher level of faith. Amen. And I love it, because in this secret place, we find a place of rest, and we find a place where we rule. And when natural and normal life circumstances try to rise up and disturb our peace and our place of rest, I encourage you, because we can't be too afraid, too distracted, too caught up, too tired to rise up in the spirit realm and rule by taking charge and over these spirits with all power and authority. Amen. Turn, if you would, to Mark chapter 4. Let's look at this. Jesus had to do it while he was in his place of rest. He had to rise up and take rule. So how much more is expected of us? If you're there, say amen. Jesus had to get up in his power and authority and calm the storm that was rising around him, trying to disturb his place of rest and peace. So how much more is expected of us? Come on. Sometimes it seems like just when everything is going good, there comes that phone call or that doctor's report, that bill or that invoice that has to be paid, or a disturbance in our marriage or with our children. Come on, just when it seemed like everything was going good, all of a sudden out the clear blue sky, all hell will try to break loose while we're in our place of rest. Come on, anybody there? Anybody been there? And so if Jesus had to rise up from his place of rest to rule and calm this storm, how much more is expected of us? Look at Mark chapter 4, verse 35. Go there if you would. It says, that same evening, come on, evening, think about the evening when the sun go down. Some people say that the sun ain't gonna always shine, but I say the sun might not shine out there all the time, but the sun gonna always be shining up in here. Come on, we gonna always be that bright light of Christ. Come on, while everything else, all hell and everything else is breaking loose out there, come on, that's why people look at you and they see something different on you, because you're not what? You're not even being conforming to the world, but you're what? You're transforming the world through the light of God that's shining and radiating through you. So they can stop that cliche, the sun ain't gonna always shine. Yeah, not out there, but in here, baby, the sun is gonna shine 24/7. That's what we're called to do, is it not? Shine in the midst of darkness. So he says to his disciples, let's go to the other side, okay? Why else would the storms of life break out if God wasn't trying to take us from where we are to where he desires us to be? Which is always the other side. A lot of us get comfortable sitting in the seat that we're in when God is expecting more out of us, and he's desiring to move us from where we are to where he desires us to be. And I'm telling you, the storms come to take our faith to a higher level. Amen? And I'm here to say that, yeah, God will use natural life circumstances and situations to get us there. Yes, he will. Go to verse 36. So leaving the crowd behind, how many of you know everybody can't go where God is taking you? Look around in your inner circle now. How many people who were there last year, 2 years ago, are still there? Because when he takes you further, he brings you into a new company of people who, guess what? They are operating at the level of faith that he desires you to be operating at now. And so now these become your people that you are in fellowship with. And the ones that you left behind, you now become in a relationship of mentorship with them. See, relationships shift and change as your faith go to another level. So you can't continue to try to fellowship with those that you're now called to mentor. Because when God takes your faith to a higher level, he puts you into a new group of people. And yes, it's uncomfortable initially. But if it's already on you and he's already pulled you to that next level of faith, guess what? It'll grow on you and it'll become natural feeling for you. Somebody say, gotta leave them behind. But we're not forgetting about them. We always go back and strengthen our brother and sister. We always go back and pour into them. Amen? So it says they took Jesus just as he was, and it says in the boat, and there were other little boats with them. So just know that when God take you up, there's going to be others that are following you, watching and waiting to see how you're going to respond. So here's the storm. Verse 37, a furious storm arose, and the waves broke over the boat, and it was already filling with the waves, filling with water. Verse 38, Jesus was in the stern. This is where we are in our place of rest. He was resting on a pillow. And the disciples woke Jesus up and said, "Teacher, don't you care that we drown?" Verse 39, from his place of rest, he got up. He rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Peace, be still." And then the wind, look at what happened, immediately died down, and it was completely calm. And the disciples said, or he says to the disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" Come on, even with Jesus on board the ship, where is your faith, disciples? Well, how about this to us in the teaching arena? Even with Jesus on the inside of us, and all the raging wind and all the water and waves that's coming into us trying to overtake us, where is our faith with Jesus living on the inside of us? Well, we should emulate him, should we not? If he rose up from his place of rest, see, sometimes we can get too comfortable in Zion. We can let the wind and we can let the waves come in and fill our mind with fear and frustration, fill our mind with doubt and despair, and we don't do like Jesus. We stay asleep on the pillow, and by the time we try to get up, we are too perplexed. We are too and so weighted down with what has overtaken us in our place of rest. But how many of us know at times we have to emulate Christ? We have to rise up, not in the natural. Oh, no. I'm not talking about stand up on your feet. I'm talking about stand up in your authority. Stand up in the rule, the rank, and the authority that has been given to us through the name of Jesus. See, Jesus couldn't use his name because he was already present on the scene. Because I started wondering, well, why didn't he rebuke the fear in the disciples? And God spoke to me and said he couldn't rebuke the fear in the disciples using his name because he was already forever present. So he had to deal with the circumstance, the wind and the wave that was causing fear in his disciples. But we have power in the name of Jesus, that when those waves and those winds start to blow in our life, we can rise up from our place of rest and command, come on, not the situation, not the storm, but the fear, the doubt, and the despair that will come and try to attack and fill our mind. Come on, somebody say, "I got power in the name of Jesus." And that's why he says, "Greater works you shall do." Think about it. Jesus was there, but guess what? Jesus is here too. So we got Jesus on the inside of us, and we got the power in the name of Jesus. Greater works we should do. Somebody say, "I just got to remember to come from my place of rest when it's time for me to," somebody say, "rule." When it's time to rule. When it's time to rule. When we deal with the enemy, even if people have this thing, they say, "Oh, it's the enemy trying to frustrate me." And I say it sometimes. And people always say, "Stop giving the enemy so much permission." But we in a war. God ain't attacking me, the enemy is. God ain't trying to frustrate me, the enemy is. But God will use a circumstance, come on, to bring frustration to me to see how I'm going to handle it. To see how I'm going to handle it. And so even if it is the enemy that's trying to frustrate us, then we can look at Genesis 50 when Joseph comforted his brothers. Come on, you know they sold him off to slavery. But he even says, Joseph in Genesis 50 verse 19, Joseph says to his brothers, come on, the enemy, the ones who were trying to do him harm, who was trying to put him in a pit for life, who was trying to kill and destroy him because they were jealous of him. There are enemies still out there after us that want to delay and deny us, come on, from entering into the promises of God. There are still enemies assigned to try to frustrate us in our place of peace. And the devil is a liar if he thinks we're going to rest there and not rule and recognize him. But here's what Joseph says to his brothers. He said, don't be afraid, for I am in God's place. Somebody say, I'm in my secret place. Joseph had a secret place. He said, yeah, when y'all sold me, I was in my secret place. When they threw me in the pit, I was in my secret place. When I went to the prison, I went to the prison in my secret place. And guess what? Now that I'm in the palace, I'm in my secret place. And I'm coming from my place of rest to my place of rule and authority. Joseph went through rest and rule too in his secret place. Verse 20 says, as you know, you meant evil against me. You know they're out there. But God meant it for my good in order to bring about the present results, which is to preserve his people. Verse 21, so don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones. So he comforted his brothers and spoke kindly to them. How many of us could have done that? How many of us could have done that after being sold into slavery in our secret place where God downloads? And we're going to get into it in a few minutes. Man, we do some stuff that the average person just won't do. And that's what makes us stand out. Am I right about it? Am I right about it? So when we look at it, I want us to keep go back to Mark, if you would. Go back to Mark. And we're in Mark chapter 6. Amen. And go to verse 6 now. It says, but you, when you pray, go into your room. We already dealt with that. He says, and once you have entered into your room, your secret place, he says, shut the door. Somebody say, shut the door. And as we remain in our secret place with God, we have to keep the doors shut. Come on, we have to keep the doors shut. What doors? Doors of unforgiveness. We want our Father to forgive us, but it's hard for us to forgive others. In the secret place, that's a door that we have to shut in order to open the door to forgiveness. The word in Mark says that when we pray, it says if you have anything against anyone, forgive them. Somebody just lift your hands. I'm speaking to the house because unforgiveness will hold us back from entering into the place we are to enter in with God. And we don't verbalize that we don't forgive you. We don't verbalize that you hurt and offended us, but we're holding it in our heart and it's preventing us. Somebody say, Lord, forgive me and allow me to forgive them. And so when we shut this door to unforgiveness, we also shut the door, write this down if you would, to offense. To offense. When you deal with the house of restoration that we're in right now, we have to learn how to handle offenses. Write down Matthew 18, 15. It says, if a brother shall trespass against thee, go to that brother and tell them. It doesn't say go to Jane and tell her that John offended you. It says go to that brother. So in that secret place with God, do you know he'll even convict us when we have gone out of order, out of the will of God, and we've talked to other people about an offense before we talk to the person who offended us? Shut the door. Write this down. Anger and rage. Because don't you know anger, rage, and bitterness leads to murder? People think it's just a murderous spirit physically. There's a murderous spirit that's operating in the spirit realm, where we begin to look, cut down our brother and our sister with our words, with our looks or our avoidance of looks. Come on. They're standing in need, and guess what? We're the agent to go in and restore what it is they're dealing with. But when offense, I see you saying, but when offense is in our life, we literally, come on, intentionally turn our back and avoid them. We kill them in their current circumstance and situation because of our avoidance. As a result of offense. Come on, it's just a teaching CD. I don't know why I'm sweating. It's the lights. That's what it is. Shut the door to bitterness, sarcasm, and resentment because it will eat us alive. People think it's cute being sarcastic. I don't think it's cute. I think, you know, sarcasm and different things towards other people, I think sarcasm is like a door opening to gossip. Because when, whatever you say, you sure you're right. Then next thing you know, she thinks she know everything. Am I right? So sarcasm and bitterness and sarcasm, shut the door to revenge. Remember that vengeance is mine, says the Lord. Amen? But we want so much revenge sometimes we don't even leave room for God's wrath. Don't you know God's wrath is greater than any wrath that you can ever bring on a person? Leave it alone. Somebody say, let it go. Leave it alone. You know what we do? We go into our secret place and we pray that the Spirit of the Lord will push them into their secret place so that they can get it right with the Master. Amen? Shut the door. Write this one down. To debt and overindulgence and instant gratification. Yeah, God will deal. I've set my secret place so many times, y'all, just doing different things at different times. And, man, as the Lord starts speaking and revealing to me some of my faults and some of my errors, I'm just crying. I'm just crying because when we want to put a mirror before us, we go into our secret place and God is not concerned about anybody at that time except for us. And he wants to perfect us, amen, and become the image of Christ that we are to be in this earth realm. And so when we shut these doors in this secret place, we open doors to self-control, which is one of the, well, which is the fruit of the Spirit. I say the fruit because they're all inclusive. Amen? They're all inclusive. You can't have one fruit without having them all. Amen? So you know that's in Galatians. But we also look at shutting the door to lying. Mm-hmm. We can't be lying in our secret place with God. We have to be honest so that God can what? Expose our faults, expose our flaws, expose our sins. Amen? And when he exposes these things to us, it hurts. And he will replace it with the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit, all of the fruit of the Spirit, will come in and push all of that's not fruitful out. But we wonder, why are people walking around with all of this anger and rage, bitterness, unforgiveness, resentment on them? It's because they have not entered into that secret place with God, allowed the fruit of the Spirit to come in, which is a painful process. Meekness, and you can't have self-control without having meekness because all the fruit are one and all-inclusive. It's one or all. We don't pick and choose like at Burger King. I want this, but I don't want that. The fruit of the Spirit is just that. They are all-inclusive. So even today, when you go back and look at the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and somebody say self-control. So they're all inclusive. So in that latter part of Matthew chapter 6, it says, when you pray, go into your room. When you have shut the door, pray to the Father who is in the secret place. So when it says pray to the Father who is in the secret place, we can't tell everybody what we're praying, decreeing, and believing God for. Come on, some things are specifically only for the Father to hear and know in our secret place. We can't even afford to open up the doors to opposing forces like the haters, the competitors. Come on, the despisers and the doubters. Because we will be filled in our secret place and come out and share prematurely, a little too early, with other individuals. And guess what? That is where we open the door, but we say shut the door, but we shut the door and we come back out and tell what we have discovered in our secret place a little too soon. And that opens up the door to doubt again. And that becomes the instability of the mind. Come on, y'all. In here, I'm in my place of peace. I'm in my place of rest. And then I come out and want to blabber everything. Instead of letting God, oh, we're going to get to it. Bring the reward, come on, that he releases to us in our secret place. He will release it in the public arenas. He will bring evidence and fruit to all that took place in his secret place. Yes, he will. So Matthew 6:6 says, here it is, and the Father who sees and hears in the secret place will reward you openly. Are y'all ready for some open, exposed blessings to take place and manifest in your life, where it will begin to confuse the confuser, and now the manipulator is manipulated because of all the blessings that you visibly and tangibly walking in? Are you ready to see your blessings, touch them and feel them, enjoy them? The prayers that we have submitted to God have not and will not go unanswered. As long as we're not looking for public and people acceptance, and we're only looking for the acceptance of God to come in and cleanse and purge us. And see, inside of leaving session two, we talked about, why do you want what you're asking God for? See, man looking at the outer appearance, but God is looking at the heart. Why do you want what you're asking me for? These are the things that take place in our secret places with God. So he's going to reward us openly and publicly. And I just decree that those that didn't think that you could do it, they're going to be put to shame. Because I said they're watching and they're following. So y'all think all y'all Facebook followers, yeah, they have a little other, they have some other motives than just becoming your Facebook friend. Let me go here. Can I go here? See, we open up the door when we show them how wonderful everything is going. So y'all stay stable and I stay consistent. Yeah, they see how everything is going so wonderful and great in your life. And guess what? They're following you like those little boats when Jesus got on his ship. They're following you, waiting, just waiting for your day of despair. They don't like it when everything going good and the family is prospering. But you say, Lord, I'm sick and tired of these people. And you start expressing your frustration and your pain and your agony. All of a sudden, everybody like that. But in this season of prosperity, in this season of resting and ruling simultaneously, we're not even going to sway back and forth, to and fro. We're going to be stable, because even in our place of peace and rest, when it's trying to be disturbed by the enemy, we are going to immediately arise to the occasion and take rulership over it. That's why we had to anoint the mind, so that the mind that's in us would be the mind of Christ Jesus. Those that's watching in disbelief, they're about to be amazed. And those that's been talking about us, their words are about to be cut off and silenced because of this place of rest and rule that we're going to walk in this season. Amen. Amen. Give God a praise. And even as I close, I wanted to share something that God put on my heart. We keep teaching it. We keep singing it. We continue to play it, dealing with going to a higher place in God. And understand this. I want to read it out of Exodus 34. Because when we go through life's trials and tribulations, God is simply trying to take us to another level of faith. It's a higher level of faith. And a higher level of faith, seek first the kingdom of God. Come on, our faith and belief in him, everything else we need is going to follow. We're not after the things. We're after the faith of God. And he's going to allow through our faith, come on, everything we need to be added. And so how many of you have gone through life circumstances and know that you were resting and everything was going perfect and fine, and then, boom, there comes something to try to disturb your peace? Just lift your hands, you know. Keep your hands in the air. Keep your hands in the air. Because I want to prophetically speak to your mind and your spirit and your heart. It's okay. God will allow, look, not the enemy to frustrate you, but circumstances to arise to see how you're going to handle the frustration that the enemy comes at you with. God does not want to frustrate you or cause unforgiveness or bitterness or division between you and your family, you and your church, you and your job, but he wants to see how you're going to handle it. And so from this day forward, keep your hands in the air. Make a commitment that I'm going to be able to rise from my place of rest and go into my secret place and exercise my rule, rank, and authority over the attacks of the enemy that try to come in and disturb and frustrate my peace. Say in Jesus' name. All right, put your hands down. Hallelujah. Sometimes you just have to let the enemy know that we're serving notice on you. That he's only doing what he's supposed to do, kill, steal, and destroy our dreams, our visions, our future, our marriages, our families, our children, the peace on our job. He's coming in to try to kill, steal, and destroy it. But God says, I come that you might have life and experience it to the abundance. And that's the place that we are to walk in. So when God is trying to produce something that has never been produced before, amen, it's going to take us to another level of faith. It's going to stretch us. It's going to pull us. And let me say this. We don't have time for the naysayers. We have to shut the door. We have to cut some people loose so that we can stay focused on what God is speaking to us in our secret place. And somebody say, keep it confidential. Because we did say that what takes place in the secret place, God will reward us in the open. They're going to see it soon enough. We don't have to announce it before it's time for it to be released. Amen. They will see it because I said what? They're watching us. They're watching us. So we have to be in this secret place, which is a high place, alone with God to get what he desires of us. So I want to close out with Exodus 34. Amen. Go there if you would. Go there. We're going to close out with Exodus 34. And this is where the Lord said to Moses. Go to 34 verse 1 and 2. This is the word of the Lord as we close out. Exodus 34, 1, go to verse 2. The Lord said to Moses, be ready. Not get ready, but be ready. Be ready. I'm going to say it again. Be ready. Somebody say, I'm ready. I'm not getting ready. I'm ready now. He says, be ready for in the morning. He says, you shall come to Mount Sinai. Come on, that's a high place. That's the secret place. And he says, present yourself to me there on the top of the mountain, at that high place. But look at verse 3. He says, no one is to come with you or be seen anywhere with you on this mountain. Just stand to your feet if you would. Hold your word, but stand to your feet. Because when God starts dealing with us in the high place on Mount Sinai, sometimes we want to take other people with us and we want them to know what's going on, but it's not meant to be. Somebody has felt the pain of, somebody has felt the pain of, I feel like I'm going through what I'm going through all by myself. And I come to decree that God said he will never leave you nor forsake you, and you can always turn to him. So remove that spirit of loneliness. Rebuke and speak to that spirit of loneliness, because he says no one is to come with you or be seen with you anywhere in this high place. And he says in verse 27, the Lord says to Moses in this secret place, write down my words. For in accordance with my words, I have made a covenant with you and all of Israel. The word that the Lord has for you and for me is a word that's more than just for us. It's for a generation of people. It's for a group of people. You know who you have been called to impact. It may be men, it may be women, it may be teenagers, it may be children, it may be others experiencing health challenges, others that are experiencing financial challenges. You know who God has called you to impact and reach. And the words that God gave Moses on Mount Sinai, he says to him that they're for you and the people of Israel. So there's so many people dependent on you to enter into this secret place with God and receive direct revelation from him so that they can benefit, reap the benefits of his reward. Verse 28, Moses was there with the Lord for 40 days and 40 nights. Lift your hands. We're going to stop rushing God. When we don't get the answer on the first day of seeking his face, we're going to continue to seek his face day after day after day. Because guess what? He's working out impatience and he's releasing patience, the fruit of the Spirit. He was with them 40 days and 40 nights without eating and drinking water. And he wrote on the tablets the word of the covenant, which were the Ten Commandments. even as we go into our secret places with God, I want to speak over this house divine, prophetic revelation and instruction. That as we go into these secret places with God with a pen and a pad, that God will speak divine instructions to us on how to handle and carry out and go through the challenges that we are going through in our life. Because these commandments that God gave Moses turned out to be the Ten Commandments. So in these Ten Commandments, we not only see what we are to do, but we see what we are to not do. And God is going to begin to strategically and divinely show us not only what it is we are to do and where it is we are to walk, but what it is we're to not do and where it is we are to not walk in. And as he released these words to us and we write them down and receive them prophetically, God is going to take us into the new season of faith and prosperity that he desires for each of us. Amen. In Jesus' name. Just receive that. Just minister on the instruments. Somebody's been waiting and wanting God to do something in their life, and he hasn't moved fast enough.